yesterday we got up, we were up in Whitefish, and it was snowing outside. And it was like, what in the world? This is crazy. So, hey, I am glad that you guys are here on a beautiful day. And I'm excited about what the Lord has. And thank you for coming and sharing. I have a feeling that that if you don't get involved in what Mackenzie's doing and all, I bet you guys are going to totally miss out on an incredible blessing. So, also, just a shout out. Thanks for all you guys that went out yesterday and helped out Pam and Vern and worked on their place and got a lot of stuff done. So, appreciate you guys for doing that. So, let's go to the Lord in prayer and we're going to dig into this thing. Father God, we come before you right now. You are an awesome, mighty God. And Lord, you are at work all around us. And Father, I just ask that you'd help us to have your eyes to see it, that you'd help us to have your eyes to see those that we need to reach out and love and touch. But Father, that you'd help us in the way that we walk in our life and in our faith, that Father, that we would truly surrender to you in a way that it would not just be superficial, but Father, that it would be all-encompassing and changing our life in a way that would honor and glorify you. Lord, I ask that you would speak tonight, that your spirit would move, that we would hear what it is that you need us to hear, and that, Father, that we'd walked out of here challenged and changed and motivated for what you got. We give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you guys all have your eyes closed while we were praying? Some of you didn't. I just about fell. I stepped off the hedge ladder. It's like, oh my gosh. So anyways, we are in the, just started the series here, Faith That Works, and my hope and my motivation of going through this is, one, being able to look at Galatians and James, and two books that at first glance seem very different and approach the gospel in very different and unique ways. One is very grace-oriented, and one is very much a proof of your faith by works and action. And so we're going to be kind of looking at those two books, comparing them. The idea is in this is, one, for you to get an understanding on how to look at Scripture and interpret Scripture. But really, I want your faith to grow. I want you to be able to see the things that are in here and why God puts them in there, that we would be able to walk in a place where we have this assurance of what God has done in our life through Christ, and to be able to grasp those things. And so that's what we're going to be looking at here. And as we get into Galatians chapter 1 here, we're going to start in verse 6. But before I start in verse 6, I want to tell you this story. We years back, we were in Yellowstone, and we were hiking with our three little girls, and we went back into the upper woods, and I kind of like getting away from the tracks in Yellowstone. You get away from the pavement, and all of a sudden, it's this incredible world that's out there that hardly anybody ever gets to see. And we got back there a little ways, and we were on this hillside, and we were looking down, and at the bottom of the hillside, we saw these two bears. We went, oh, look at that. Next thing you know, these two bears run towards each other, growling and just making this ruckus, and just hit each other and start rumbling and rolling around on the grass. We're like, oh my gosh, look at that, these two bears are fighting. And one gets up and is like pawing at the other one, and the other one turns around and runs up the tree. And we're like, holy smokes, this is crazy, you know, and this big, huge fight that's happening. And next thing you know, this one out of the tree comes down and grabs the other one, and they roll around again, and then that one runs up a tree, and they comes with, and pretty soon you realize, oh, they're not fighting, they're just playing. I mean, they're having this huge thing going on down there, back and forth and chasing each other. And eventually they got done doing that, and they started walking up the hill. And we all went, it's time for us to go now, you know. So, but it was really wild, because at first, the whole scene that you saw there was like, here's this territorial fight between these two big black bears that are going at it. And then as you realize, no, they're just having a good time. They're just going at things and just, you know, just playing. When you look at these guys, Galatians, and you look at James, when you look at the way Paul handles the Scripture and the way that James handles the Scripture, at first there's going to seem like there's this conflict, this battle that's happening, this struggle between two different views. And I think part of that is because we have this struggle. we fight in ourselves with this issue of, God has saved me by grace, now what do I need to do? And we wrestle with that all the time. And sometimes we even wrestle that, well, it can't just be being saved by grace. There's got to be something more to it than just that. And the human nature is that we always have to work to earn. We always have to achieve in order to be recognized or to be able to be accepted. We live our life in a realm where as we grow up with our siblings or we go to school or we play sports or whatever, there's this competition that happens all the time in our life where we are always kind of competing and trying to achieve and trying to be better. And so it's really easy for us to sink into that idea and that realm, I think, even when it talks about the gospel. It's hard to grasp the gospel of grace, that it's beyond anything that you could do, that it was done for us. That it's Him who does these things, and we just need to accept them. So I want you to look at Galatians chapter 1 here. We're going to start in verse 6. And Paul is talking to this group of churches in this region. He says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you have accepted, let them be under God's curse. You think Paul's pretty adamant about this? I mean, he says, hey, listen, there is one gospel that you have accepted, and somehow or another you're walking away from it. Somehow or another you've gotten it so confused, and somebody has come in and given you these different ideas. And basically what has happened is, as Paul has evangelized the church, and the majority of these guys in this region are Gentiles, and they're coming to accept Christ, there's Jews that are coming in, and they're looking at it going, well, that's great that you're doing that. That's great that you believe in Jesus, but that's not what actually saves you. If you want to be a child of God, then you have to be circumcised too, because that's the sign of what it means to be a child of God. And so everybody needs to go through that. And so there's this thing here where you almost got it. And so that's who Paul is dealing with, is these individuals that are coming in and adding the law, adding different things and elements to the gospel, saying, hey, well, this is really what needs to happen. And yet, Paul comes into this and says, hey, listen, there is one gospel. And if you change it, it's of no value to you. If somebody else preaches a different gospel than what you've accepted, let them be under a curse. Even if it was me or an angel, that's a pretty big deal. That's huge. In other words, the gospel is so important, and what we hear in the gospel is critical to this walk of salvation that we have. The struggle we have nowadays, is, to be honest, is the gospel has been tainted by so many different views. There's so many different individuals out there that want to add to it or change it. To be able to look at our gospel and be able to say, hey, listen, you know it's not the true gospel of the scripture when they say, hey, listen, you can receive Jesus Christ, but you have to do all this stuff too. And if you don't do all this stuff, then you're not really saved. That is not the gospel. That is not what you'll find throughout Scripture. You'll come along and you'll hear people that will present a gospel that says, well, this is really what the gospel is, and they'll present it with some kind of special knowledge. You don't really understand, because I've studied, you know, the church forefathers. And so you guys don't get it. But I have this knowledge. This is what the gospel is. Anybody that presents things like that, just walk away. Because whenever it's a special knowledge, something for us to achieve, something for us to be able to go, oh, I finally got it, that is so far from the gospel. God did not make it hard for us to receive him. He did not make it secret where it was impossible for those that had an intellect to be able to step in. Whenever you are presented with a secret knowledge, all that is the temptation of, hey, you're special and nobody else gets this. And that is not the gospel of Christ. The big one that bothers me the most, and I see it around us quite a bit now, is we change the gospel or we eliminate things from the gospel in order to fit our cultural, political view. We don't like the fact that the scriptures tells us that there are individuals that will go to hell. I don't like that. I wish that all mankind would come to know the Lord too. But the reality is, as the scripture says, that unless we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we already stand condemned. And so it's really easy for us to look at this and say, well, maybe this doesn't really mean what it means in Scripture, or maybe we should just stick to the red letters. Because Jesus was super nice, he would never condemn anybody. That's when somebody says that, they haven't read the red letters. Jesus speaks about hell more than anybody else. He talks several times about there will be a judgment. Matter of fact, he's going to be the judge. He alone says, I am the way, the truth, and life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And so the reality is we want to see all these different things. And sometimes we want to change and make it soft for us to be able to present to other people. You know, to make it palatable. Maybe as Christians we would be a little bit more accepted. But all of it is a tainting of the scripture. It's exactly what Paul's talking about here, saying, hey, listen, don't be confused. Hold on to what you've learned. At first glance, this may seem kind of contrary to James. And so let's look over here to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 16. Says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth, that's salvation, birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all his creation. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that so prevails, and humbly accept the word planted in you. Notice that, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. James is a book of wisdom, and what James approaches is that he talks about things and he wants to make things very practical. Here's things to avoid, here's things to do, and so when he writes through, it's really easy sometimes just to go, okay, he's telling me that I need to do these works, I need to, you know, get rid of things, I need to walk in what he has, but yet when you begin to look at it, you reference all the way through here that your salvation comes through the word of truth. The word of truth is Jesus. In the very beginning of John, it says the word was with God. We know as we read through John that he's talking about the simple fact that Jesus is the word, the messenger. That's what angel means, is messenger. And so he brought the message, the word of truth. Not only that, as we go through it, we realize that he's talking about the gospel as we're being born again, as he changes us from the inside out. So he begins to put all this together. And later on in James, as we look over at the next chapter, he actually talks about my brothers and sisters, believers in our Lord, in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. And so he addresses the believers. Now remember, Paul is addressing all the Gentiles. And he's dealing with the Gentiles, and he's dealing with their perspective and the confusion that's coming in. Over here in James, he's dealing with the Jews. And their perspective is very different. They have the history of Scripture behind them, and they have all these different things. And so he's beginning to work in them, saying, hey, listen, if you just walk around saying, hey, I know God, that's not it. You actually have to have this relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Word, to be able to realize that our salvation comes through him. And if we look into that and what he has for us, it will change us, and we need to walk in how he changes us. And so he presents the gospel in a unique but different way, yet it's the same gospel. Because as we begin to work through and look at what Galatians says and all that Paul puts together, we realize that as we accept the truth and the Holy Spirit works in us, it changes us from the inside out. It's the works of the Spirit. We all of a sudden, as you guys know, the fruit of the Spirit, you know, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. These are the things that come out of the Spirit, which we receive when we receive salvation. And James talks about these are the things that should be coming out of your life when you're a true believer of the gospel. So being able to look at these two and pull them together, I want you to turn back over here to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Gentiles, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by the means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by the means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain, so again I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? So Paul comes back and goes, listen, this is crucial. Don't change the gospel. Realize what the gospel really is. And if you hold on to the gospel and walk in the midst of the gospel, you receive the Spirit, and the Spirit changes you. And he talks about these works of miracles, these things that happen around you, and you're going to experience that unless you step out of it and think now that you're in control and you're going to actually do these good things and you're going to actually achieve blessing and you're going to do all this stuff. And that's our temptation, to be able to prove ourselves. See, the gospel that is clear that goes through the Scripture, time and time again, is one that is not of our works, not of our ability. It is about what Christ has done for us, the fact that he was crucified for our sins. That for us to be able to recognize that and believe that and hold on to that is what changes us from the inside out. Acts chapter 2. Verse 38, Peter replies to the crowd here and he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What Peter was preaching is the same thing that Paul is talking about. Be able to realize that salvation message is really pretty simple for us to come to know that we need a Savior, to be able to repent from that, be able to believe in what Jesus has done, and to be able to receive that in faith. That's what salvation is. It's not by my works or my efforts. It's that place of knowing that I need a Savior, seeing what and understanding what Jesus has done, and accepting him as that Lord and Savior. This place of being able to walk in repentance, belief, and receive. You be able to hold on to it. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the gospel story. Most of you guys know this. But here it is. Don't get yourself worked into a place where you think that there's something that you have to do to achieve. Do we do a lot of mission trips here? Do we do a lot of service projects here? Do we have a lot of opportunities for you guys to do things? We do. There's a ton of stuff to be going on. That's not tied to your salvation. It's not tied to your salvation, and I have to do these things in order to achieve or be in a good standing with God. Or if I'm not doing this, and they're opportunities. There are opportunities to be able to see God work through you, to see his hand move in other people, for you to be able to build your faith, because you'll find out so often when you go in these places, it's not your strength that makes it happen. This whole trip that's coming up for me to go to Germany is kind of a really weird one. Came out of the blue. The whole thing is paid for. I mean, it's like winning the, you know, church planner's lottery. Woo! It's like, okay, I'll go. Sure, why not? And to be honest, I'm a little nervous because I'm flying over there. I'm going over with a bunch of other guys, and I don't know what I'm stepping into. I know that we're supposed to be meeting with several different missionaries that are on the grounds, a bunch of them that are working with refugees and kind of all the situations that are happening there in Germany and being able to establish churches over there. And to be honest, I've never pictured myself over in Germany or Europe. You know, I'm a little more, you know, put me in the jungles somewhere. But I'm also excited. I'm excited because I anticipate God doing things. I anticipate opportunities to be able to see where he's moving in different places in people's lives. And that is so awesome. It's so absolutely awesome. So the thing that I throw at you is this, is your walk with Christ based on the simple state that you need him and you have accepted what he's done for you? Because that's the gospel. That's it. If you truly accept him, if you truly look at him and have this faith in him, and this is what's wild. Sometimes when we talk about faith, some of us can have faith in God, but we don't really have faith in God's character. This was pointed out to me the other day. It's interesting because I think often we believe in God, but we don't necessarily believe that God would love us and grace us and gift us. And Hebrews says it's impossible to please God unless you believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who eagerly seek him. See, here's the reality of salvation. Salvation is that faith of being able to go, I need help because I know what I am by myself. But I'm going to accept Jesus Christ and what he's done for me on the cross. And knowing in the midst of that, accepting him in his faith, is that he is going to change my life. He is going to do things for me and work in me to be able to help me walk where I need to walk, where my life can be rich and not ruined by sin. Where I can be able to understand his love and his grace for others because he begins to work in the love and the grace that he has in me. See, the gospel is so simple and so clear. That's why I say avoid secret intelligence of you got to have this kind of wisdom in order to be able to get there. And I accepted Christ when I was 7 years old. A little kid. and it took. You know, I remember back then being able to walk through the process and realizing what it all meant, and that Jesus died for me and that he wanted me to be my forever friend. And I remember being by myself and praying to him and accepting him as my Lord and Savior. If a little child can understand it, that's true love from our Heavenly Father. If it takes some kind of special knowledge, some kind of special wisdom, that's not love and it's not fair. Every one of us here has the ability to surrender to him. Every one of us here has the ability to walk in our faith in him. See, when we talk about faith that works, the really important part of this whole message is this. If you don't have that faith yet, the rest of it's not coming. If you're not at a place where you've accepted the simple gospel of what Jesus has done for you, if you've added to it, if you've walked in a place that it's something that is mystical and you have to find the secret knowledge, that if you've gone to a place where it's like, well, I think all of us are saved, so it's really no big deal, you've missed it. And the rest of it won't work for you. But if we can come back to this place of going, man, no, this is what the simple gospel is all about. Being able to come to a place where we know we need a Savior, recognizing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and receiving him as our Lord and Savior. If we can grasp that, that's where the seed of faith really begins to grow. And Christ talked about the seed of faith growing into the largest plant in the garden. It's something that continues to sprout, continues to spread. It will continue to grow in your life. But it's got to start there. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before you right now. Lord, I know in this room there are those that are your children that have accepted you and are walking in that. And so, Father, I ask that right now that you would help them to pray for those that they know that do not know you. Father God, there are some in this room that have been struggling with their faith. They have been told that they need to add to it. They've been pushed in directions where they're confused about the simple truth of your gospel. And so, Father God, I ask that you would help them. Help them to dig deep right now, to make this a time where they draw the line, where they pound the stake in the sand, and say, this is what I will build my life on. Father God, those that are far from you, I ask that you would begin to reveal yourself to them, that you would draw them to yourself. That, Lord, that you would help them to be able to understand and grasp the glory of who you are through the gospel message. Father God, I also pray for every one of us that we would be able to clearly articulate what it means to be your children. That it's not by our works, not by our efforts. Not how good we are, but it's the grace that you've given us, this free gift, this gift of salvation, this new life that changes us. Father God, help us to walk in that power, to express it, that people would ask us for the reason for our hope, that it would change our mental and the way that we address everything. That, Father, the way that we think about things, that we would live a life that was glorifying to you. Not because we need to earn your favor, but because we have your favor. Not because we need to earn your love, but because, Father, we've experienced your love. And so, Father God, we lay it all before you. In Jesus' name, amen.